The scripture reading for this morning is taken from Ephesians, 5th chapter, verses 15 through 18. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. This is the third sermon in our current series on exhortations to be. Remember that to exhort someone is to strongly urge them to think about something or to actually do something or both. In today's scripture, Paul is exhorting us to be very careful how we live. In the meditation book that Carol and I use on each morning, the author of that series said, being comes before doing, for what we do is always determined by what we are. And so that's why we're thinking about what it means to be. To do comes after that. So, Paul is exhorting us here to be very careful, how we live as Christians. There are a number of reasons why that is important for us who call ourselves Christians, but I won't get into that today. For according to Paul, living wisely means being wise. Not just a state of being, but it also means actually carrying out that wisdom, that being wise in all that we do. And so according to him, we are supposed to live wisely and not be foolish. It includes also making the most of every opportunity that comes along to us, because we don't know how many we'll have. We don't know how long we'll have them. And so we have to be very careful to make every opportunity count. And also means understanding God's will and living according to it. So that's what Paul is saying that we need to do as Christians. We need to live that way. Finally, Paul exhorts us not to get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And that's what I want to focus on today. Now, I'm not going to say much about getting drunk on wine or any alcoholic beverage. I know some people who call themselves Christians that see nothing wrong with having an occasional beer or a glass of wine or even a shot of whiskey. I also know that it would probably be impossible for us to make a case for total abstinence according to the Bible. There are some passages there that might lead to that, but probably that is not the thing that the issue we want to get caught up in today. I also believe that in this sense also, we're thinking about living wisely, being wise, that there are sometimes when we don't do things just because it's the wise thing to do. I remember when I was a little kid, we had a man come to our school, and he talked to us about alcohol. He talked to us about drinking. He said that he was an alcoholic, and he talked about all the different things that had happened to him in his life as a result of that, how he had practically ruined his life with drinking alcoholic beverages. He also said that he never intended to become an alcoholic when he started out. And he also said nobody else does either. And then he said something I've never forgotten. He said, if you never take that first drink, you'll never have to find out if you are an alcoholic. For some people don't know whether they are or not until they take that first drink, and then it's too late for them. My father was a recovered alcoholic. By God's grace, he overcame it, but it caused a great deal of havoc until he was able to overcome it and get control of it. In our family and in our lives, caused a great deal of trouble. Someone asked me once if I saw anything wrong with drinking. And I answered, in my experience as a minister, and I've had quite a few experiences down through the years, I've never seen anything good come from it. But I have seen an awfully lot of bad things as a result of it. And that's why maybe Paul was able to see that too. And that's why he said, don't get drunk. And if you can't handle alcohol at all, just don't get involved with it. Stay clear away from it. And you'll be wise if you do. On the positive side, Paul encourages us while he says, don't get drunk. Don't get drunk with wine. Don't be a drunkard. He also says, be filled with the Spirit. If we're filled with alcohol, if we are filled with alcohol, or how the big, now you know what they're thinking about today is marijuana. That's the next big push that we're going to be seeing happening in our country to make marijuana legal. And everybody will be bombed out with marijuana. You know, I can't quite and see what's going to happen there. It will affect us. If we are affected by any of those things on the outside, if we take those things into our body and they affect us, it's going to make us act a certain way. We're going to be affected in one way or another. And if we are filled with the Spirit, my friends, it will affect us another way. I want to begin then by saying that being filled with the Spirit is something that we all need. You need it, I need it, and every Christian needs it to be Spirit-filled. The question is, are we? Are we Spirit-filled? Are we filled with the Spirit? Paul was writing to Christians who had accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. If they had done that, they also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes to us at the time of coming to the Lord, being baptized, and then giving our life to Him, opening our heart to Him, giving Him a place in our lives. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts, within our lives. It's a gift. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, receiving the Holy Spirit is something different than being filled with the Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit once, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit many times, over and over again, many times. Why? Well, I think it was Spurgeon who said, we tend to leak as Christians. And sometimes we get full of the Spirit and then it leaks out of us and we need more of it. Actually, there are some real reasons why we may not be filled with the Spirit at any given time. And I'll get to those in just a little bit. Paul is exhorting us, his exhortation is to be filled with the Spirit. That is written in such a way that it points to an ongoing process in our lives. It's not a once and for all thing that happens to us. It's something that continues to happen. Something that we need to have continue happen. But a process that goes on and on. A very important one at that. It might be helpful if we could measure how full we are of the Holy Spirit at any given time. If there was some way that we could test that, if some way we could maybe find out for sure, am I full of the Spirit? Am I half full? Am I a quarter full or what? You know, in our cars, we have what is called a dipstick. And that measures how much oil we have in our motor. And we put that in the motor and we pull it out and we say, well, we've got a full, it's full. You know, the motor's full of oil, or it's half full, or maybe we need to add some oil or whatever. Well, if we had a way of something like that to test, to measure our Holy Spirit level, we could find out if we are full or empty or somewhere in between. However, we all know there is no such way to measure like that. On the other hand, there are some indications, there are some indicators that will help us to determine how full of the Spirit we are at any time. And Paul has three ways that we could see in the text that follows the part that I read to you. Three of the indicators as listed by Paul. First of all, Paul says, if we are full of the Spirit, we will want to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody, make music in our hearts. That's another way of saying we will want to worship. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, we will want to worship God. Not just on Sunday morning, not just in the house of the Lord, but we will want to worship Him continually. Worship will become a part of our everyday living. Worship will become a part of our lives. It will be important to us. So, if we have the Holy Spirit in His fullness, then that will mean that we want to open our hearts and give to the Lord the praise and the worship that He deserves. I've told you before that one of the things that I like to do in my own personal life is I like to turn the computer on, maybe pick out a worship song, and then just let that play and listen to it and just worship the Lord on my own. And it helps me. And you could do that also. There's so many beautiful songs that you'll find on there. There's so much bad stuff on the computer, but there's some good things too. And just pick out a song. The other day I was listening to one, and I was just caught up in the worship of the Lord. And, you know, we don't have to be in church to do that. We don't have to be in a formal setting to do that. We can do it anytime. And if we are a worshiping Christian, something that we love to do, we look forward to doing, we enjoy doing it, and it's a part of our lives, then that will give us that kind of that strength that we need in our lives as well. It's a good sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives when we have that desire to worship. Why? Because it leads us to glorifying Jesus. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He points us to Jesus. He shows us Jesus. He reveals Jesus to us. And He makes Jesus real to us. And then that is why we need to worship. Let that spirit of worship manifest itself in our lives continually. A second indicator Paul talks about is an attitude of gratitude. He said, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, my friends, there won't be room for griping and complaining or for focusing on what we don't have or what we need all the time. But rather, we will find ourselves saying, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. You hear yourself saying that? You hear yourself giving thanks to God, not just on Sunday morning, but all through the week in your own life. As you praise God, worship Him, as you read the Bible, as you read the Word of God for yourself, you find yourself saying, I'm so thankful that I have the Word of God. I'm so thankful that I can read it. I'm so thankful that I can come into the house of the Lord and worship Him. I'm so thankful that God loves me and takes care of me. I'm so thankful for all the good things that God does in my life and for me. We can be thankful even when it seems that we have nothing to be thankful for. And that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. A third indicator is a humble attitude of submission. Or as Paul puts it, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If we constantly insist of having our own way, of doing things our way, of having our way, or if we feel like we have to judge everyone else and always find ourselves straightening other people out. You know, there's something wrong with that person. I need to go and tell that person. I need to straighten that person out. If we always find ourselves doing things like that, we might be a little low on the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, He will be developing that fruit of love in us that causes us to love not only the Lord, but also to love other people and to want to reach out to them and to show them our love. For that matter, how much are we growing or showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life? I think that is probably one of the best indicators of how much of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives, of how full we are of the Spirit. Because if we are continually being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, and all the others as well. What's He doing to us? What's He doing through us? What's He doing for us? And that indicates how Spirit-filled we really are. The more we have of the Spirit in our lives, the more we become like Jesus. The more we become like Him. And that's the real purpose of all of this anyway, isn't it? That's why the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Not simply to empower us, not simply to enable us to have the power to do what we need to do or to enable us to do what we need to do, but also to change us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. More like Jesus all the time. I said earlier that there are reasons why we may not maintain this condition of being Spirit-filled. We all know that the trials and the tests and the troubles in this life have a way of draining us of our spiritual strength. We may start out a day feeling really good, feeling close to the Lord and able to handle whatever comes our way. Then things start to happen. Things start to come against us. Whatever comes our way, trouble seems to rise up. Difficulties come. All manner of problems come along, and it takes a toll on us. It wears us down, and we need a refilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us. Since we know that we will continue to have tribulations in this world, why? Because Jesus said so. Since we know that, we need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit to help us cope, to help us live, to help us face those things and overcome things in our life. Another reason we may need refilling is neglect. Neglect. We may not always be aware of the Spirit's presence in us because we simply don't think about Him. How much do we think about the Holy Spirit? How much do we think about Him being there in our hearts, in our lives, and what He's doing at any given moment? He is there, but if we don't think about Him, if we don't give Him any real recognition or any place, He might as well not be there, right? I believe the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and He wants to be a helper to us. That's one of the ways that that word Holy Spirit is translated. Helper, counselor, someone who comes and stands beside us, someone who helps us in our times of need. He wants to be there to help us. He wants to work in us. He wants to be a helper to us. But He will not push His way in or force us to listen to Him or follow His leading. He wants us to offer to Him voluntarily that place in our lives that will enable Him to have an influence in us each and every day. He wants us to give Him voluntarily that place that He deserves and desires in our lives. Have you ever had a warning from the Holy Spirit and you neglected to hear it? Or maybe once you had that warning, you didn't follow through with it, you just forgot about it? I can remember one time when I was ready to pull on a busy intersection. And I looked down the other way, and I looked that way, and I pulled out, just getting ready to pull out on the road. And all of a sudden, this car came whizzing by. Something had spoken to me and said, "Don't go. You better not go out." And I'm thankful for that, because I think it would have been a disastrous result. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He gives us guidance. He gives us help. He gives us His power and love, and He gives us all that we have need of if we are only responsive to Him and listening to Him. Sometimes we may be moved by the Spirit to also do something. Have you ever had that happen to you? You feel a prompting, you feel a leading to do something. Now, it's not always the Holy Spirit that does that. That's why we have to learn how to be a little bit discerning about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But sometimes He may prompt us to speak to someone, to reach out to someone in love, to give someone something, to show someone the love of God. Whatever it might be, we are moved by the Spirit to do something. But we hold back sometimes, and afterwards we kick ourselves and say, "I wish I had done that. I wish I had done that. I wish I had listened to the Spirit. I wish I had followed through on that. I wish I had stepped out in faith." But we miss that opportunity. One way that we can quench the Spirit, my friends, is to ignore him, to just act like he's not there, and don't listen to him, and don't follow him, and don't give him an opportunity to speak to us, and don't let him have that very special place in our lives. The more we listen to him and follow his leading, the more of him we will have in our lives. It's just like us, you know. If you talk to someone and they ignore you or don't follow through on anything, it makes you reluctant to want to reach out to that person or help that person. And the more we open our lives completely to the Holy Spirit, the more we let him have control in our lives, the more he will come in and the more full of the Spirit we will be. So we should all pray continually, continually to be filled with the Spirit. But there's something else we need to consider before we can be before there can be a filling in our lives. There must first of all be an emptying. Must be an emptying. We cannot be filled with the Spirit, or we cannot allow the Spirit to come in and or maybe there's something else in our lives, such as some secret sin or some hindrance we are holding on to, or we cannot do that, anything, and expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something like ordering a whole new house full of furniture without first getting rid of the old furniture. There's no room to put anything. It is true that the Holy Spirit lives within us, but how much room have we really given him in our lives? How much have we opened up to him? How much have we listened to him? How much have we really let him be the Holy Spirit to us? Have we truly turned everything over to him? We need to be filled with the Spirit over and over again. Like the children of Israel had to collect the manna each and every day. So then we need to be filled. We need to ask the Lord to fill us each and every day. The first thing we get up in the morning, simply ask the Lord, Lord, fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Fill me full of the Holy Spirit so that he will not pressure us or force us to open every part of our lives to him. He waits. He waits. And when we invite him to fill us, he comes in his fullness. And when that happens, my friends, we will be blessed in ways we never thought possible. Being filled with the Spirit, especially in our day, especially in this time that we live, is not a luxury, but a necessity. So be being filled with the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving us the Spirit of God as a gift to come inhabit our lives, to fill us with his presence. Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to be filled with your Spirit, not just once, but every day, Father, that we may call upon you and ask you to fill us with the Spirit of God so that we may have the strength, we may have the power, we may have the ability, we may have all that we need to live for Jesus and to become more like him. For we pray in his name. Amen.